Let's pray together. Our Lord, we thank you for the gift of yourself, and that this Christmas, as we celebrate who you are, help us, Lord, to give ourselves then unto you. Open our eyes here this morning as we study your word, Lord. Enlighten us to your truth and make us more like Jesus, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Well, when I was younger in the church, I remember reading stories of Elijah, and Elijah called down and he asked the Lord that there be no rain. And guess what? There was no rain. And I can remember being in high school and really wanting to be a part of a youth day that we had, and we were going to Blue Bayou, and I had to work that day. I really want them to reschedule this youth event, so I prayed that it would rain. And that our youth event could be rescheduled. And I said, Lord, I just know that if I believe you said you could move mountains and that I can make it rain. So I began to pray, Lord, make it rain so they can reschedule this youth event and I can go to Blue Bayou with the rest of my youth group. And I believed. Guess what? It didn't rain. It didn't take me very long to realize then that it wasn't just having faith is what would matter, but that the object of the faith really mattered as well. And the object of my faith was I wanted to get what I wanted rather than I wanted God's will to be done. And I began to realize from that time forward that my prayers were not, hey, can I get what I want? But Lord, can you change me to accomplish your purposes and your will? And I began to grow up, if you will, in my prayers. That's what living by faith was. Not trusting that God would give me what I wanted, but trusting that I would want what God would give. And that began to transform me. And I was truly transformed to begin to know that a life of faith is not a life of getting and getting and getting, but a life of being transformed day by day. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to the book of Hebrews in our second to last message through the story of redemption. This is a book of struggle. Hebrews is a hard book because it is a book which has a lot of pressure and persecution trying to draw people from Christianity back into the old style, the old covenant worship. Here are a group of Jewish people living in the shadow of the great temple, the beautiful temple there, beckoning them and hearkening them to their former lives in which they grew up in this temple and under the old covenant, and calling them back to live in a way that was through ritual and animal sacrifice rather than through the blood of Jesus Christ and the new covenant of his spirit, in his spirit. And this is what the author of Hebrews is writing to Jewish people, saying, don't go back. Don't go back to the old comforts. Remain in the new covenant way and have faith in Jesus. Have faith in Jesus. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. Jesus is greater than an old covenant system that has been fulfilled and is finished. Now, I believe 2,000 years later, the book of Hebrews still speaks to us. Because how many of you have felt the tug in your life to go back to things that might be comfortable and things that might be fun, or things that might not be of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I could probably look out there and see some of you raising your hands and some of you lying, right? We've all been tempted to go back and forsake our faith at times. But what does it mean? Or what is important for us is that we realize that living the life of faith throughout our lives is what is pleasing to God. So let's look and see what the scripture has for us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 is where we begin. If you're there, give me an amen this morning. All right, all three of you that are there. But recall the former days when, after you were what?
Enlightened.
Brought to faith. After you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. What was going on? Well, keep reading. Sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those who are so treated. So what's going on, church? Persecution, right? Persecution by old covenant believers, Jewish people, trying to get them to come back to Judaism. Verse 34, for you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. How are the Hebrew people here dealing with persecution? Do you see it? They're having compassion. They're joyfully accepting the plundering of the property. And how are they doing that? Since you knew. We got back to last week. We talked about the knowledge and knowing. And this is where faith brings us. We believe what we know to be true. And that's what faith is. It's believing what we know to be true. Christian, your life of faith is acting upon what you know to be true. And that's what they were doing. You want to take my property? You can have it, because my home is where? It's in heaven. It's not here on this earth. And that's how the first century church was dealing with this persecution. Verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your faith, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. You need to endure, not give up. So that when you have done the will of God, you might receive what is promised. Let me read that verse again. So that when you have what? Oh, y'all are so quiet today. So that when you have what? Done the will of God, you might receive what is promised. Do you see that faith leads to doing the will of God? Don't lose your confidence because you need to do the will of God. Don't lose your faith because you need to do the will of God. And what leads you to doing the will of God? It's your faith. Now, I know it's tempting. Sometimes in life, it's easy to get and know that the Christian life's hard. Fighting temptation is hard. Not giving into the flesh is hard, because the flesh in us, sinful desires are natural to us, and we have to fight them. And we grow weary sometimes, especially when pressure from the outside comes in and says, oh, you don't really believe that, do you? Or, oh, just accept who you are and celebrate who you are. That's what it's all about. And the Bible tells us, no, fight who you are. Because that's not really who you are in Christ. Fight it. Fight those desires that are impure. It gets hard. But faith helps us continue on. And verse 36 tells us that you have need of enduring faith so that you can do the will of God. So that when you have done the will of God, you might receive what is promised. This is the essence of Christian life, isn't it? We continue to believe. And the next day, we continue to believe the promises of God are true. And the next day, we believe the promises of God are true. And the next day, we believe the promises of God are true. And when the pressure comes, it helps us to deflect the pressure and live the Christian life. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and not delay. But my righteous one shall live by what?
Faith.
By faith. The righteous, the just one, the righteous one, the Christian, the man of God, the woman of God is going to live by what?
Faith.
By faith. This is essential, Christian, to your life. If you do not live by faith, as mentioned here, you will die. Because without faith, we wither. And if you do not have the promises of God and you don't know the promises of God, then you will not believe the promises of God, and you will not live the Christian life. My righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, if he draws back to the old way, if he forsakes the new covenant of Jesus Christ and the blood of the Son of God, if he shrinks back, my soul has no, what?
Pleasure
in him. Now remember that word, pleasure. The Lord is saying, my soul has no pleasure in the one that does not live by faith. The one who shrinks back. Remember last week we talked about growth and those roots growing deep. The one who shrinks back and shrivels up. The Lord has no pleasure in that. Verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are what?
Destroyed.
Nope. Nope. That's not who we are in Jesus Christ. That's not the church of God. We don't fall back. But we are of those who, two things, what?
Faith.
Have faith and preserve their souls. So we're not going to shrink back and die. We're going to have faith and preserve our souls. So Christian, what's the word for us as we walk through the Christian life in 2020, this week, coming up? What are we to do? We are to, the same as 2,000 years ago, walk in faith, walk by faith, and not shrink back, but dig our roots deeper and say, this is what I need. I need to live by the faith and believe what I know to be true. And that's what faith is. And there are some struggles that Christians have. Some Christians never get into the Word of God, and so they don't know the truth, and so they can't believe it because they don't know it well enough. And that's tragic. And that leads to shrinking back. But some Christians are in their Word, and they go to church and fellowship with brothers and sisters, and they're learning the faith, and they're learning doctrines and truths. And as their roots grow deeper and deeper, when the storm comes and the pressure comes, and like Jesus said, when the storm comes, the man who's built his house on the sand is going to fall back, shrink back, and be destroyed. But the one who has his roots deep on the firm foundation will stand the storm, will stand the storm and be strong. All right, so we've got two things that I want us to focus on today. Two things. The first one we looked at, and we've already talked about a bit, and that is this. Faith leads to doing. Faith leads to doing. And that's what we looked about, that the will of God is done by those who have faith. Faith leads to us doing something. And secondly is this. Faith preserves our soul for eternity. So faith is going to be doing two things in us today as we walk through Hebrews 10, 11, and 12 and passages in those chapters. Faith leads us to do something. We are not Christians who do nothing for the kingdom of God. There's no such thing as a Christian who does nothing for the kingdom of God. That does not exist. If you want your own kingdom, you want to do your own thing, then do it. But don't claim to be part of God's kingdom if you're not doing kingdom work. And that's the choice that Jesus gives us. He didn't beg people to follow him. He said, come follow me. You want to be part of the kingdom of God? Come on. But those who said, well, my mother-in-law's died. I have to bury her. He said, let the dead bury the dead. If you want to be part of the kingdom? Come follow me. You want to be part of the dead world? Go be part of the dead world. No one who puts his hand to the plow and turns back to be part of his own kingdom is worthy of the kingdom, Jesus said. This is it. We have a faith that does something, and that faith that does something is what works to preserve us for all eternity in the kingdom of God. Hebrews chapter 11. Jimmy, we're jumping in it. I know you love this passage. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Y'all with me? All right, here we go. What is faith anyway? We talk about it. We're in church. What is faith? Let's look at the Bible's definition of faith and not an extra biblical definition. The Bible's version of faith is this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, faith is the assurance you know something. You are convinced of something that is hoped for. And it is the conviction you are convicted. You have convictions about something that is not seen. Okay? You don't need faith when you see it, can touch it, you know it's true. Faith is something that you hope for, or that it is in things that are hoped for. And simply put, faith is confidence in something. I had confidence that it would rain that day years ago. What was my confidence in? That I would get what I wanted. What kind of confidence is that? That's not biblical faith. Biblical faith says, I believe and trust the promises that God has given in His Word. I believe that it's true. I believe the Bible is true. And I believe it's as true as gravity. And if I take my knife out of my pocket and I hold it up and let go, I'm convinced that it's going to fall. I hadn't seen it yet, but I'm convinced it's going to fall. I have faith in gravity. Y'all all have faith in gravity too. When you walked in this room, you didn't expect to be on the ceiling, did you? Because you looked for your favorite seat. And you're sitting in it, most of you. You have faith. You have faith in your spouse. You might have faith in your football team. I watched a football game yesterday in which the LSU Tigers won big. And they said, what were you thinking, quarterback Joe Burrow? And you know what he said to quarterback at the end of the game? He said, we expected to win. I don't know about y'all, but we knew we were going to win this game. He had faith in his abilities to throw a football. We have faith. Many of us have faith in medicine. We take it and good things happen to our bodies. However, for a Christian, it's very different. Gravity, spouse, medicine, a sports team. But as a Christian, we believe what? We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we believe that God is. And that's what Jason read in that sixth verse. Whoever would have faith must believe that God is and that He rewards those who seek Him. That's what 11:6 says. But we as Christians have a faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He came and He died on a cross. That He paid for our sin debt. And that He evidenced it, that He was buried and that He rose again. And that He was the Son of God because He lived and death had no hold on Him, the Scripture says. And that we can have life with Him by believing in Him and having faith in who He is, faith enough that repents of our sin and follows Him. That's what Christians believe. And this is quite simple. Christians believe the Bible and what the Bible says. Is that an amen? Or do they think Christians believe the Bible? Yeah, it's God's word. It's His testimony of truth to us. And that's very simple, but it's not always easy. It's simple. Christians believe the word of God. So I ask you this morning, do you believe the word of God? Do you believe it enough to abandon the way of the world, the worldview of the godless? Because that's our persecution these days. The Hebrews had persecution from the Jewish church. Us today, we have the persecutions and the pressure from the godless. And oftentimes, the pseudo-Christian, the quasi-Christian, oh yeah, we believe the Bible, but we don't really believe everything in it. Don't take it too personally now. Or, you really believe the Bible stuff? How could that be? We have science to prove the Bible wrong. Oh, really? We as Christians have faith that the Bible is true. Look in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11. This is an interesting thing here. We're talking about faith. It says this, "For by it," or "for by faith, people of old received their commendation." Well, who's commending them? That's my question for you. Who's commending who? "For by it, the people of old," so the people of old are the whom here, the who's receiving commendation. Who is giving commendation? Remember, I told you. Remember that word, pleasing to God, or giving pleasure to God. Well, here it is again. Commendation. You're commending someone. You're accrediting them. You're giving them, commending them, giving them good things. You're affirming what they're doing. And this affirmation is coming from the Lord himself. And he's saying, they commended God by their faith. And in turn, what they did from their faith. Christian, let me give you some truth here this morning. When you believe God, he is pleased. When you believe that Jesus Christ is his son, you please him. When you serve the church, he is pleased. When you give in the offering to the church, he's pleased. When you spend your time preparing to do a project for the kingdom of God, he is pleased. When you wake up on a Sunday morning or sacrifice to come on a Wednesday night to church, he is pleased. These things are, he is commending the work that people do out of faith. Because you come to church because you believe God and you believe he's better than sleeping in or watching TV or reading a book. Faith leads you to do these sorts of things. And God is pleased by those things. Look at verse 3. "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith we believe God is who he says he is." Verse 4. "By faith," and let's look at some evidence of people who lived by faith, and we begin in verse 4. "By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous." God commending, there it is again, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, still speaks. What did Abel do? Abel believed God. And because he believed God, he did what? He offered a sacrifice. You see it? He offered a sacrifice. He did something from his faith. His faith caused him to act out and do something. And it was something that cost him something. Did you see that? Look, our Christian faith is not going to not cost something from us. If you come to Christianity for what you can get merely, you're going to be sorely disappointed with Christianity. Because Christianity is a way of life that teaches us to sacrifice like Jesus sacrificed. And that means doing things that we don't want to do sometimes. Y'all ever feel that? You ever know, oh man, I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to do it. We were sitting 2 nights ago at Nana's house, and we were just hanging out, spending time as a family, just sitting around the room, people doing different things. And Allison turned to me, she goes, "Do you want to scratch my back?" And guess how I responded? Very honestly, I said, "No, but I will." You ever feel like that in your Christian faith sometimes? I don't want to do this, but I will, Lord, because you're worth it. No, I didn't want to scratch her back, but I was glad to, because I love her and I wanted to please her. So my love overpowered my desire, my will. And guess what I did? I scratched her back. And then she rubbed my feet. How about that? I don't think she wanted to, though. That's what faith does. Even when we don't want to, sometimes we do because we're empowered by love. And that's what Abel did. So let me give you some application here this morning, if I might. Application. Go and visit somebody that needs a visit. Men, sign up to help with the second and third grade class of young boys that are rambunctious because they need a man in there to enforce some hard love on them. Do you want to do it? Will you do it? These are some things where oftentimes in life we have things that we want to do. But sometimes we need to say, Lord, I'm willing to sacrifice in a way like Abel did because he believed, because I believed, and I'm going to go do it. Ministry is hard, I can tell you. Sometimes it's frustrating, but oftentimes it's very rewarding when you do what you don't want to do sometimes. Because you're doing it for the Lord. And there are people in this church who have lived their lives doing things for the Lord, because they know and they believe and they have faith that it's pleasing to God. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all can turn around and look and see the people in this church who have served you for years because they love God. That's what they do. They love God. They have faith in God, and so they do something. Look in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him out of the earth. Enoch didn't die, it says. He didn't taste death. Now before he was taken, he was what? Commended as having pleased God. So here's Enoch who walked with God and was not, like the King James says, he loved God. He believed in God and he didn't taste death because he was pleasing to God. We don't have any more details to Enoch's life, but we can ascertain that he did things that pleased God, and it led to an eternal presence, the eternal presence of God, an eternal dwelling with God, because he believed. So faith leads us to do things, and then faith guards our eternal state. You see the two things that faith is doing in your life? Faith is causing you to do things that please God. And then faith is ensuring that when you die because of your faith in the work of Jesus Christ the Lord, and because of your faithful living, and ultimately because of the grace of God, you are saved for all eternity from the hell, fire, and damnation that we deserve. This is the Christian faith. This is it. Faith leads us to do, and faith leads us to God's presence eternally. And let me read verse 6 again from what Jason read us earlier. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Do you see that the first 6 verses are about pleasing God? Faith is pleasing to God. Faith is pleasing to God. Faith is pleasing to God. This guy had faith. He pleased God. So, Christian, do you want to please God? Then believe in God. You want to please God? Believe it. Believe what he's given us in his word. Let me finish this verse. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So here's a question for you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is it the faith that pleases God, or is it the things that are done from the faith that that please God? There's your question. Does your faith please God? Or do the things that you do from your faith please God? Think about that for a moment. And the answer is
yes.
Yes. The answer is yes. It is our faith that pleases God, and it is the things that come from our faith that please God. But let me be very clear in this. Not just any faith is pleasing to God. Not just believing in God is pleasing to God. There is a certain kind of faith that is pleasing to God. And this is important. James was very clear to tell us in chapter 2. He says this, so also faith by itself, if it does not have what? Works, deeds, action put to it, that faith is dead. And dead faith don't please God. Just like bad grammar doesn't please my wife. Dead faith don't please God. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. What James is saying is here, you can't separate the two. You can't say, I have faith, but I don't do anything. Sure, I believe in God, but I'm not going to do anything for the kingdom of God. Huh? James would look at you like you're crazy. Paul would look at you like you're crazy. Jesus would look at you like you're crazy. Wait, you say you believe and you're a part of the kingdom of God, you're not serving the kingdom of God? That doesn't make any sense. That's dead faith. James also told us, even the demons believe and they shudder. Verse 19, you believe that God is one? Oh, well, that's great. You do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. It's a kind of faith that's pleasing to God. And it's a kind of faith that does. So I want to ask you at this moment, if you're here listening, do you have a faith that does? Do you have a faith that does things for Jesus, that does things for the kingdom of God? Do you have a faith that repents of your sin? Do you have a faith that seeks the Lord? Or do you have the kind of faith that the demons have? It says, well, yeah, I believe in God. Look, the demons aren't foolish. Even demons believe that God is. The majority of people in our country are moving toward this non-religion. I don't have any religion. I don't believe in religion. Just merely humanism, metaphysical. We're created, we live, we die, that's it. Like, even the demons have more faith than that. They acknowledge God exists. But Christian faith, what we read in Hebrews 11:6 says, you believe that God is, and that he rewards those who do what? Seek him. Christian faith is more than just believing. Christian faith is a faith that does, that seeks God. So let me ask you, in 2020, are you going to seek God? Does your faith do anything? Let's break it down a little bit more, if I might. Today, what is your faith going to do? Faith brought you to church today. You're here. What else is your faith going to persuade you to do? Are you going to do an act of kindness for someone? Are you going to be generous to someone? Are you going to sacrifice for someone? Are you going to pray today? Are you going to study your scripture today? Are you going to lift your hands in praise to the living God today? What is your faith doing? Because faith that is dead is not pleasing to God. The demons are not pleasing God with their believing in Him. On this last Sunday of 2019, let me give you a challenge for 2020. And that is this: may your faith do something. May your faith do something. And I'm not asking you to save the world, but I am asking you to do something. May 2020 be the year that Ronnie, you do something. And Craig, you do something. And Jeff, you do something. And John, you do something. And Nate, you do something. And Trinell, you do something. And Belinda, you do something. And then all of us go do something for the kingdom of God and make a difference for the kingdom of God in a world that needs to see the kingdom of God doing something. So Christina, go do something out of faith. Darlene, go do something with your faith. Live it out. Church, let's live out faith and let us please our God not only by our faith, but by what we do with a faith that does. Let's pray together. Thank you, our Lord, for giving us your word to show us the truth that you have called us, Lord, to do something. Motivate us, Lord. Change our will. Get us out of our easy chairs and get us to doing what you've called us to do. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.